Hi all, this is Echo, chapter 17 in part 3. When Ivy answered the brisk knock at the door the next evening, she was surprised to find Mr. Ward standing in front of her. He cleared his throat.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Lopez.
Papa came up behind Ivy.
How can we help you?
Could you step outside for a few minutes?
Papa grabbed his jacket and pulled the door closed behind him. Ivy watched them through the front window, frustrated that she couldn't hear. Papa leaned against the truck with his arms across his chest, listening. Mr. Ward stood in his usual stance, hands behind his back, elbows out. After Mr. Ward walked to his car and drove away, Papa came inside, his brow furrowed.
"What is it, Victor?" asked Mama.
"He saw the vandalism at the Yamamoto house, and he thinks he has a solution to end all of this. He would like to meet with Kenneth Yamamoto when he arrives. He wishes to buy the property. He said that the first time he made an offer, the Yamamotos were insulted because it was much too low. He realizes that now. I told him Mr. Yamamoto has written that he does not wish to sell under any circumstance, but..."
"But what?" asked Ivy.
"Mr. Ward said every man has his price. And he is right, Ivy. If the Yamamotos agree to sell, he said he would consider hiring me as field supervisor, but he made no guarantee. I said I would arrange the meeting because it is not my place to say no. It is Mr. Yamamoto's decision. Mr. Ward wants to inspect the property inside and out, the house, the shed, the garage, before Kenneth Yamamoto arrives."
Ivy felt the blood rush to her face. What if he discovered the door in the back of the closet? Ivy tried to sound casual.
"Why?"
"He says he can prepare a worthy offer. He will bring his lawyer with him to advise. But I sense there is something more."
"I think I know, Papa. Susan told me Mr. Ward thinks the Yamamotos are spies for Japan."
"What?" said Mama. "Spies? Ivy, what nonsense is this?"
"I'm not making this up, Mama. Susan said her father thinks that inside the house there are maps and secret documents that help Japan bomb Pearl Harbor. And if it can be proved, then the Yamamotos can be sent to prison. And they will lose the farm because the bank can sell it to anyone who has the money to buy it."
Mama looked at Papa.
"Victor?"
Papa rubbed his chin. "It makes sense. If Mr. Yamamoto does not want to sell, and Mr. Ward can prove something like this, it is another way to get the property. He asked me if I had been inside and what had been left behind. I told him that you and Ivy had opened every cupboard and door and saw nothing but the family's personal belongings."
"That is true," said Mama. "Right, Ivy?"
Ivy nodded, but she squirmed from her secret.
"He said, nevertheless, he would consider it a favor if he could take a look, because he does not want to purchase if there is evidence that something un-American took place there. It would give the property a reputation, a problem that would make it difficult to sell someday." "I think what Susan told Ivy is right. Mr. Ward wants to find any evidence that can implicate the Yamamotos to get what he wants. And he is bringing his lawyer as a witness."
"Victor, you cannot be serious. Guillermo worked for Mr. Yamamoto for years. Surely he would have mentioned..."
"Luz, I am serious. Mr. Ward, I see it in his eyes," said Papa. "He believes that by purchasing the house and getting rid of the Yamamotos, he is protecting the neighborhood and his family. It is personal to him."
"He thinks Kenny is responsible for his son dying," said Ivy.
Mama's forehead wrinkled.
"What? But how could that be? Mrs. Ward told me her son died at Pearl Harbor." "Mr. Ward didn't want Donald to join the Marines, but Kenny talked him into it because they were best friends," said Ivy.
"But that is misguided.
Oh, that poor, sad man," said Mama. "Victor, are you going to agree to let him in the house?"
"What am I to say? If I do not allow him in the house, and Mr. Ward somehow convinces the Yamamotos to sell, then he will hold it against me. You know what that will mean. He would never hire me, and we would have to move again."
"I don't want to move,"
said Ivy.
None of us want that, said Mama.
Papa cleared his throat.
Luz, he would like you and Ivy to be there too, since you have already been in the house.
When? Asked Mama.
Friday afternoon, at 4 o'clock.
Mama took a breath. Let us be practical. We should not worry. There is no harm in them looking. Once they see there's nothing to find, it will all be settled.
Ivy went to her room and lay on her bed and worried. When they inspected the house, they would surely find the door in the back of the closet. What if there was something un-American behind it? How could she find out? One idea kept shoving its way into Ivy's thoughts. Even as she dismissed it as disobedient and dangerous, she remembered a question she had asked Fernando. Who will fix things while you are gone? And his answer, you will. She rubbed her forehead, knowing how she could do it. Today was Monday, and she had until Friday afternoon. The bigger problem was when. The thought that crossed her mind next was the most overwhelming. If she found something suspicious, what would she do with it?
Chapter 18.
When Ivy arrived home from school on Wednesday afternoon and found the house empty, she knew it was her chance. Mama had left a note. She was working at the wards until 5 o'clock. Papa was at a meeting with the parents from Lincoln Annex and wouldn't be home until dinner. Ivy rushed to the kitchen drawer by the back door, hoping Papa had left the big ring of keys. To her relief, he had. She slipped it into Fernando's jacket pocket and ran from the house. As she jogged through the grove, the keys bumped her side with each footfall. At the back door of the Yamamoto house, Ivy looked over both shoulders to make sure no one was around. Then she quickly slipped inside, still catching her breath. It felt strange to be in the house alone, with only the silence to keep her company. She went straight to the third bedroom, where she clothes-pinned the curtains to allow as much light as possible into the room. Heart pounding, she opened the closet. One by one, she scooted boxes into the room. When there were only two left, she pushed them closer to the door and stood on them to reach the top padlock. Her hands trembled while she tried several keys. Finally, one clicked, and she removed the lock. She shoved the two boxes into the room so there was now a clear path to the door in the back of the closet. The bottom padlock sprang open with the first key she tried. Her breathing quickened. She eased open the hidden door. Musty air and looming shadows accosted her. She took a step inside, blinking as her eyes adjusted to the dimness. The larger figures in the room took shape. Incredulous, she walked farther into the room, not sure at first what she was seeing. And then she slowly began to understand what it all meant. The back wall, the one that faced outside, was covered end to end by a Japanese screen, painted with delicate tree limbs and cherry blossoms. She peeked behind it and saw a wall with a double set of doors that met in the middle. The revelation of what was on the other side hit her. The wooden lattice and the climbing vines. That's why Mr. Yamamoto didn't want Papa to cut them back. Doing so would have revealed the doors. Ivy ran her finger over a stack of papers on a table. Were they the documents that had helped Japan bomb Pearl Harbor? She glanced at a row of books. Was this the evidence that would send the Yamamotos to prison? She looked around the room. How had they accomplished it? How had they maneuvered everything in here? Clearly, far more people than just the Yamamotos were involved. Had there been work parties and meetings and secret late-night deliveries? It appeared so. They were all guilty of the same thing. Ivy's eyes stung with tears. It was all so sad. It felt so wrong. Mr. Ward had been right. The Yamamotos were hiding something. Something big. She left everything as she found it, padlocked the room, and rearranged the closet as it had been. Fernando had said that Americans all over the country were doing their part,
big and small, for the war. "I will do my part," she whispered. On Friday afternoon, she would show Papa and Mama and the lawyer and Mr. Ward the truth. It was her duty as an American. Chapter 19. Mr. Ward stood on the front porch of the Yamamoto house Friday afternoon, looking as though he were ready for battle. He stood tall, arms crossed, and held a large flashlight in one hand. His lawyer stood at his side, holding a briefcase. As Mama, Papa, and Ivy walked up the steps, Mr. Ward strode toward them and held out his free hand.
"Mr. Lopez, this is my lawyer, Mr. Pauling."
Papa shook hands with both men.
"This is my wife, Luz, and my daughter, Ivy."
Mr. Pauling nodded.
"We appreciate your cooperation, Mr. Lopez. I want to point out that you do not have to allow us inside, legally, since you are not the owner of the property, and to confirm that, as the caretaker, you are doing this as a favor to Mr. Ward. Is that correct?"
"Yes," said Papa, sweeping a hand toward the boarded-up front door.
"We must enter from the back of the house."
Mr. Ward gave Papa a curt nod.
"I'll follow you."
Within a few minutes, they all stood in the Yamamoto kitchen. Mama walked ahead of them and clipped up the curtains. Mr. Ward studied the kitchen like a prospective buyer, opening drawers, shining the flashlight into cupboards and under the sink, knocking on walls. Mr. Pauling shadowed him.
"As you can see," said Papa, "everything is in good condition."
Mr. Ward said nothing and headed into the living room. He lifted the sheets and squinted at the furniture. He picked up a broom that had been left in a corner and tapped on the ceiling. He stomped on the wood floor. When he moved into the first bedroom, he opened the closet.
"Have you searched these things?"
"We did not check inside the boxes. Ivy and I checked only for rodents and water damage," said Mama. "And to be sure, the windows were closed tight."
"I have to ask you, Mrs. Lopez," said Mr. Pauling, "just as a matter of record, did you remove anything from the house?"
Mama shook her head. "I would never do such a thing." Mr. Pauling looked at Ivy. "No, sir. I haven't taken anything from the house."
"But you've spent quite some time here, working in the yard," said Mr. Ward.
Ivy nodded. "Yes, to make it nice for Kenny Yamamoto when he comes to visit on Sunday." Mr. Ward knelt in front of Ivy.
"Now, young lady, you do know that our country is at war with Japan and the Japanese."
"Everybody knows," said Ivy, "since Pearl Harbor." Papa bristled.
"Of course she knows. Our son, her brother, is fighting with the U.S. Army."
Mr. Ward stood up.
"Mr. Lopez, do you understand that the Japanese who lived here are confined because of their threat to our security?"
"Threat?" asked Papa.
"When the Yamamotos lived here, there were always people coming and going from this house," said Mr. Ward, "especially after the bombing at Pearl Harbor. And not just other Japanese farmers, Japanese carrying briefcases. And sometimes the lights were on very late at night. There were trucks arriving at all hours."
"But that does not mean," said Papa.
"How do we know it wasn't ammunition? In times of war, we can't be too careful," said Mr. Ward. "There are Japanese sympathizers who watched our skies before Pearl Harbor. They wrote down descriptions of our planes that flew overhead and reported back to the Japanese government."
Papa shook his head. "I do not think the Yamamotos..." Mr. Ward's face turned red.
"I was trained in this type of work. If you do not allow me to inspect further, I will report my concerns to the police. Is that what you prefer?"
All the raised voices made Ivy anxious. She leaned against Mama. Mr. Pauling put a hand on Mr. Ward's arm.
"Let's calm down. You must have evidence before you go to the police."
Papa stared at Mr. Ward and Mr. Pauling. "I do not understand. I thought you were inspecting the house before because you were interested in purchasing it."
Mr. Ward sniffed. "I have two concerns: reporting threats to our safety and purchasing the house so the threats never return."
"Mr. Lopez, if you'll indulge him, we can get this over with," said Mr. Pauling.
Papa pointed to the closet. Mr. Ward dragged box after box into the middle of the room, opening and inspecting each one. He muttered, "Nothing but dishes and bed linens and tea towels." Mr. Ward sniffed again, walked into the second bedroom, and repeated the same inspection. When he found only boxes of children's clothes, he knelt down in front of Ivy. "Now, Ivy, when you and your mother came into the house, did you see anything that seemed out of order? Have you seen anything in the shed or the garage or the house that didn't seem usual?" She looked from Mr. Ward to Mr. Pauling to Mama and Papa. Her heart exploded with anticipation. She took a deep breath and tried to appear calm. "Ivy, answer Mr. Ward, please," said Papa.
"Do you mean like a secret door?"
"I knew it," said Mr. Ward.
Papa stepped forward.
"Ivy, what are you talking about? This is not a time for pretending."
Ivy shook her head.
"I'm not, Papa. When we checked the house, a box of photographs spilled in the other bedroom. Remember, Mama? You left me to clean them up, and when I put the box on top of the others, I saw a door in the back of the closet with locks on it. I can show you."
Mama's face went pale.
"Why did you not tell me?" "I'm sorry, Mama. I thought it was just another closet to store things."
She hated deceiving Mama, even for a few minutes, but it would soon be over.
"We should call the police," said Mr. Ward.
Mr. Pauling held up a hand.
"Let's make sure it's not just another closet first, shall we?"
"Ivy, show us," said Papa, holding out his hand. She led him to the third bedroom. Mama close-pinned the curtains to let in the light. Ivy opened the closet door, pushed aside the clothing, and pointed to the hidden door. She watched as Mr. Ward and Mr. Pauling pulled the boxes to the center of the room and moved the hanging clothes. When the closet was clear, Papa tried different keys until both padlocks clicked. He opened the door. Mr. Ward and Mr. Pauling followed the flashlight beam into the room, with Ivy, Mama, and Papa close behind. The light illuminated the room and its contents. Every figure glowed.
"Oh," Mama gasped.
"How?" asked Papa.
Ivy watched with satisfaction as Mr. Pauling stifled a smile and Mr. Ward's eyes darted from corner to corner. Ivy walked around the room, unlatching and opening the cases. Inside a space the size of a bedroom was not one, but three pianos, one of them a grand. Assorted musical instruments lay about. Four cellos, several basses, flutes, clarinets. Ivy opened at least a dozen violin cases, the instruments and bows resting in their velvet-lined beds. Papa walked along the perimeter of the room. It didn't take him long to look behind the painted screen and see the doors, as Ivy had done yesterday.
"Double doors. Outside they are covered with vines and cannot be seen."
"It makes sense now, yes?" said Papa.
"They could take so little with them to the camps, and Mr. Yamamoto was one of the few in the area who was able to keep his property. He is storing and protecting his friend's most prized possessions. The men you saw going and coming from the house with the briefcases," Papa shrugged, "they were carrying instruments. They were musicians." He looked at Ivy and smiled. "Like my daughter."
"I think we've seen enough," said Mr. Pauling, turning to leave. "No, wait," said Mr. Ward.
Confused, he put his hands on his hips.
"What about inside the piano benches? What about in the stacks of sheet music? There could be secret codes."
Mr. Pauling raised his eyebrows and shook his head. Papa lifted the lid of each piano bench and stood by while Mr. Ward rummaged through the Chopin and Beethoven and Brahms. From the third piano bench, Papa took out the only thing inside, a flat box with an intricate pattern of inlaid woods, shiny with lacquer. He set it on the table. Mr. Ward stepped forward. Papa lifted the lid. A letter lay on top of the contents. Papa unfolded it.
"What is it, Papa?"
asked Ivy. Papa turned and held out the paper, pointing to the letterhead.
"This is the official seal of the President of the United States. The letter is a commendation for bravery."
He pointed into the box.
"And these are Mr. Yamamoto's medals
for his service to the United States of America during World War I. Mr. Pauling cleared his throat and turned to Mr. Ward. I don't see any government documents or diagrams of the California coastline or pictures of airplanes and ships. Are you satisfied? Mr. Ward seemed puzzled as his eyes drifted around the room. He took a deep breath and stood straighter.
It is always better to be safe than sorry. Every man, woman, and child must be diligent.
His voice cracked and his eyes filled.
So many of our boys have died. So many of our boys. My boy.
Grief overtook him and his body shook. Ivy walked to his side. He didn't seem unfriendly any longer. He looked like a father who had lost his son to war. She looked up at him and took his hand. Mama's eyes filled with tears as she appeared on his other side and gently held his arm. And together, they led him from the house.